Did you know we have completely ad-free early access to all of our episodes? Well, we do. Not only that, but we have dozens of bonus episodes waiting for you. Head on over to patreon.com/ghosttownpod, and you can check it out for 7 days absolutely free. That's patreon.com/ghosttownpod. A Strange Change. I'm Jason Horton.
I'm Rebecca Lieb.
And this is Ghost Town.
Thursday, March 14th, 1895, Mary Kennedy dressed in her warmest clothing to pay a visit to her 26-year-old niece, Bridget Cleary. It was a short commute, just a half-a-mile walk into the town of Ballyvaudleia in County Tipperary, Ireland. Mary Kennedy's sons had arrived earlier, themselves paying a visit to their sick cousin. Over the bridge and up the hill, Kennedy approached the house, eager to check in on her niece, hoping she was okay. But as she neared, she heard shouting, screaming from the inside. As she opened the door, Kennedy saw a scene that looked more like an exorcism than a family visit, with Michael Cleary, Bridget's husband, forcing his wife to drink a concoction of milk and herbs, while 5 men, including Kennedy's 3 sons, holding Cleary down. Quote, "Are you Bridget Boland, the wife of Michael Cleary? In the name of God," Michael yelled. Bridget Cleary replied that, in God's name, she was. But others argued that she wasn't the kind, sweet, resourceful woman the town had come to love. Instead, what thrived in Bridget Cleary's body was evil. An evil fairy, also known as a changeling, reveling in the havoc it wreaked on the Cleary family, the Kennedy family, and Ballyvaudleia as a whole. But 24 terrifying and inexplicable hours later, Bridget Cleary would be dead. Today on Ghost Town, the story of Bridget Cleary, also known as the Changeling Murder. Born on February 19, 1869, in Ballyvaudleia, Ireland, Bridget Boland grew up intelligent, fashionable, and extremely independent. She learned to be a dress and hat maker, but also sold eggs to support herself and her family, all before she was 20 years old. In many ways, Bridget fit the definition of the late 19th century's new woman, a term originally coined by English writer Sarah Grand in 1894. New women were, quote, "individuals who exercised control over their own lives, be it personal, social, or economic." At 19 years old, Bridget was that. She was well-to-do, making money for herself, but she was also known to be quite beautiful, fashionable, in touch with the community. It was at that point that Bridget moved to the town of Clonmel, where she met 27-year-old Michael Cleary. Cleary worked as a local cooper, and Bridget worked as a dressmaker's apprentice. Less than a month after their meeting, on August 6, 1887, the two were married. After the wedding, Bridget returned to her home of Ballyvaudleia to live with her parents, while Michael continued to work as a cooper in Clonmel. During this period of living apart, she kept her own flock of chickens and obtained a Singer sewing machine, state of the art at the time, and began making clothes and alterations all herself. Following the death of Bridget's mother, Bridget and her husband Michael decided to finally move in together and care for Bridget's elderly father, Patrick Boland. Something that you should know, many of the houses in the Ballyvaudleia area were meant to be sold or used for the town's laborers, a very valued portion of the population, and were often the nicest houses in the area. Boland, who was a laborer when he was working, moved in with the Clearys, which allowed all 3 of them to secure one of these fancy laborer houses, though the house that the Clearys bought was not one of the popular ones. Why? Because the laborer house that the Clearys purchased was supposedly built on the site of a fairy ring fort. So what is a fairy ring fort that the couple Michael and Bridget Cleary and their aging father decided to live on top of? Well, I'm so glad you asked. Fairy ring forts are archaeological remains like dwellings, worship areas, markings, and talismans of prehistoric Irish people. They're scattered all over the Irish countryside. Some of them date back to 600 BCE. Now, if you happen upon a ring fort, you might be in luck, or in deep trouble. The belief was that fairies or other powerful supernatural entities would have their favorite ring forts and defend or protect their structures from dwellers by rewarding or cursing them. Even as Ireland modernized in the late 19th century, this superstition and belief in fairies continued to thrive. This belief is still so pervasive that as late as 2017, an Irish politician blamed road damage on nearby fairy ring forts. So, yeah, interacting with ring forts back then and very recently is very risky business. But before we get into the supernatural weirdness within this story, let's begin with the human weirdness. Though their marriage was considered a happy one, the Clearys really stood out among their neighbors. They were well off, they could read, and they lived in a really nice house with all the modern amenities of the time, including stone walls, pitched roof, and glass windows. Despite 8 years of marriage, the pair did not have any children, another big old red flag for their traditional community. And add on a woman who was doing it by herself, bringing in a pretty good living from her own skill set, it was an unusual dynamic, to say the least. On March 4th, 1895, Bridget went to deliver some eggs to her father's cousin, Jack Dunn. Her deliveries were all over town, passing by other fairy ring forts along the way. After this particular delivery, Bridget came home and felt strange. She just couldn't seem to get warm. She felt off. The next day, Bridget was full-on sick, complaining of, quote, a raging pain in her head. Over the next few days, her condition worsened, and Bridget's father walked 4 miles in the rain to get a doctor. But unfortunately, the doctor was busy. A couple desperate walks later, Michael Cleary finally persuaded the doctor to show up, a mere 9 days after Bridget had initially fallen ill. Eventually, he came by the house, diagnosing Bridget with, quote, nervous excitement and slight bronchitis, and prescribed some medicine. Later that afternoon, a priest gave Bridget her last rites. You know, just in case. But meanwhile, the town wasn't exactly sold on the doctor's diagnosis. In 19th century Balavadlia, which I hope I am saying right, locals believed, quote, if you walked too close to a fairy circle, you might get snatched by a fairy. Never mind living on one and making lots of deliveries all around town through a bunch of them. The victims of most of these fairy snatchings around the fairy ring forts, young children and pretty young women. Quote, it was believed that fairies had trouble producing children on their own sometimes, so they would take pretty mortals to embolden their line, said scholar Kristen L. Bone, who wrote about Cleary in her book Women and the Abuse of Power. In their stead, fairies left behind a changeling, a fairy made to resemble the stolen person. Often a changeling would be identified by getting ill, acting weird, or looking slightly uncannily different from the human that they had replaced. The sickness, the strangeness, the glazed over look in young Bridget Cleary's eyes? Well, some thought it wasn't Bridget Cleary at all. More after the break. After Bridget Cleary gets sick and is diagnosed with nervous excitement and bronchitis, what a pair, the town's mind went not towards making her recuperation well or comfortable or supporting the family as a whole. They immediately thought, invasive fairy changelings. The fire was fanned by Bridget's own husband, Michael Cleary, whose later testimony claimed Bridget was, quote, 2 inches taller and, quote, too fine to be his wife. A local storyteller named Dunn, just Dunn, like Cher, spurred on Michael's suspicions, telling him, quote, it is not your wife in there. At Dunn's urging, Michael went to the local, quote, fairy doctor, yes, fairy doctor, a man named Dennis Gainey, for a mysterious herbal cure. And the fairy doctor's potion worked, and all was fine. No, of course it wasn't. This is an episode of Ghost Town. It was not fine at all. This brings us back to that fateful night of March 14th, 1895, when Mary Kennedy arrived at the Clearys to see Bridget pinned down with a bunch of men forcing the already sick young woman to drink a disgusting milk and herb concoction. Don't worry, they also threw urine on her and threatened her with a hot poker, burning her forehead in the process to further expel the fairy. Again and again, Michael questioned Bridget if she was a fairy or not. She seemed, quote, wild and deranged, according to the testimony of her cousin Joanna Burke. By the end of the night, however, things seemed to quiet down. A peace came about the home, at least for the time being. The next day, for the first time in nearly 2 weeks, Bridget got dressed and had tea with some relatives, like she often did before she got sick. But when Bridget asked for milk with her tea, her husband's paranoia reignited, as conveniently, fairies are said to crave fresh milk. Strangely enough, after that fateful tea, after the next day where she was finally feeling better, Bridget seemed to disappear off the face of the earth. Near immediately, rumors were beginning to circulate that Bridget was actually missing, and local police began searching for her. Michael was quoted as claiming that his wife had been taken by fairies and held a vigil in her honor. In fact, Michael Cleary spent the next 3 consecutive nights waiting on Kylan Granagh Hill for the fairies to return his actual wife, Bridget Cleary. At any moment, he believed, her soul would come back. Witness statements were gathered over the ensuing week, and on March 22nd, Bridget's body was found in a shallow grave. A coroner's report the next day stated that Bridget Cleary's cause of death was not by fairy or fairy changeling, but by burning. It was then that Michael Cleary's story began to change. He told authorities that he had snuffed out the evil fairy who had taken over Bridget's personhood, and that now she was free from her fairy prison. She would return, he said, and live a happy life with him once more. But, of course, Bridget Cleary never returned. 9 people, including Michael Cleary, Patrick Boland, Mary Kennedy, James Kennedy, and Patrick Kennedy, were all charged with involvement in the death of Bridget Cleary. During the highly publicized trial, which ran from April 1st through April 6th, 1895, the events that led to Bridget's death were made very clear among testimony and even among superstition. After the tea where Bridget asked for milk, Michael Cleary was back on the notion that she was a fairy changeling, and upon getting questioned, Bridget Cleary exclaimed, quote, "Your mother used to go with the fairies, and that's why you think I'm going with them." Michael would tell the jury that he was not happy about this dig at his mom, of course, and forced Bridget to eat several pieces of bread before throwing her on the ground, tearing at her clothes, and setting Bridget on fire. James Kennedy, a relative who was there for tea, yelled, quote, "For the love of God, don't burn your wife." "She's not my wife," Michael replied. "She's an old deceiver sent in place of my wife," he would tell the jury. Later that night, Michael buried Bridget's body in a grave about a quarter mile from their home, and again awaited his actual wife's return. You might imagine that this was a strange cross-section of modernity, a modern trial, and mythology, the belief in fairies that were so pervasive at the time. And you'd be right. There was a lot of conflict in this jury. There was a lot of conflict in this whole case. But there was one point in the trial that really challenged the jury's belief in fairies. As part of the trial, the jury was given an opportunity to view Bridget's body and really see the gruesome extent of her injuries, as well as, you know, to personally verify that the body was indeed Bridget's and not, you know, a changeling or something else. So when the jury actually went inside of a room, saw the body, and witnessed the gruesome evidence of Bridget's suffering before her death, superstition just didn't seem to matter. The violence spoke for itself. 5 of the case's defendants, including Bridget's dad, aunts, and cousins, were found guilty on the charges of wounding. Michael Cleary was charged with manslaughter and sentenced to 20 years of penal servitude. He spent 15 years in prison. After his release from prison in 1919, he moved to Liverpool and then to Montreal, Canada. The case of the changeling murder begs the question, what is real and what is imagined? Today, scholars still wonder whether Michael was really driven by the belief that fairies had taken his wife, or if he just wanted his well-to-do, fashionable, independent wife out of the picture. But we can't ignore the fact that Michael Cleary didn't act alone. The destruction of Bridget Cleary was the product of many compounded actions by a traditional community, one that maybe felt very threatened by an outspoken, again, well-to-do, modern woman. The psychiatrist Henry O'Connell told Atlas Obscura that he wonders if Michael Cleary, who didn't undergo any type of mental evaluation at the time, was suffering from a brief psychotic disorder, which manifested in a condition known as Capgras syndrome. Quote, it wasn't described until 1923, but it's essentially a disorder of delusion and misidentification, says O'Connell, where a sufferer believes an imposter has replaced someone they know. Quote, the nature of the delusion can be colored by the cultural context of the time, whether that be fairies in late 19th century Ireland or an alien abduction in the 21st century. Capgras syndrome might have evolved into a case of shared psychosis after Cleary persuaded others, namely Bridget's family, that she had been replaced by a fairy. There's also a possibility that's been explored that others complicit in the murder had learning disabilities that allowed them to become convinced of the delusion. Bridget Cleary's murder became a kind of cultural landmark, a sign of Ireland's rapid modernization and fight for independence from England, a kind of inspiration for women to push back on traditionalist viewpoints and lore. And yet this case, quote, shows the immense power that the changeling myth still held, said Bone. A kind of Irish witch hunt, and how myth can be so easily weaponized against women who step outside societal norms. Women like Bridget Cleary.